Let Me Tell You Why You're Wrong podcast.
Thank you for downloading. This is Dave Roberts with Let Me Tell You Why You're Wrong, a special interview with our sheriff candidates in Paulding County. I'm here with Ashley Henson, Lieutenant Ashley Henson, with the Paulding County Sheriff's Department. Ash, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Great. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to chatting with you about the 2024 sheriff's race.
Campaigning's no fun, is it?
No, it is and it isn't. We've had an opportunity to get and see lots of people all over the county, and so make a lot of new friends, see a lot of old friends. But it's tough. It's a lot of work, and anybody tells you that it's not, they've never done it.
Or they're not doing it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, it kind of prepares for the job. The job is 24 hours.
It is. You know, any job in law enforcement is a major responsibility, but being the sheriff of a county, and especially a county of our size, is a very important job, and it's a 24/7 job.
And in your background, the last job you held with the sheriff's department is PAO, Public Affairs Officer. So you were the face. So you get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning because you got to brief the press on what's going on with the situation.
That's right.
And before that, SWAT.
So actually, I was on our SWAT team the same time as I was our PIO. So those ran in conjunction together.
So put down the microphone and pick up the sniper rifle?
That's exactly right. There's been many situations where I have been laying in the woods on a rifle with my partner, and I would come off the rifle and let my partner take over and deal with the media while I was in the midst of a SWAT situation.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way to strip your gears right there.
Yeah. You have to be quick on your feet and be able to switch gears pretty quickly.
What rifle are you guys using now?
So right now our guys are using a Remington Model 700 LTR, a light tactical rifle, chambered in 308, and we're using Night Force optics.
That is the 700 is a classic rifle.
It's tried and true. You cannot beat a Remington Model 700.
I don't care if you're hunting or if you're laying in the bush waiting for a two-legged game.
Yeah,
it's hell of a rifle. They're extremely accurate. Of course, you know I'm a gun guy.
Yeah, absolutely. They're really good. One of the things that we wanted to focus on while I was the team leader of our sniper team was to get everybody streamlined, get everybody on the same platform. That way, if there was any issue, we needed to interchange. Everybody had the same equipment.
You know, that's hugely important, and we learned that after World War II, mm-hmm. when the British were shooting 303s, the Americans were shooting 30-06 at the time is what the Garand was chambered in, and our guys were carrying 45s, and the Europeans were carrying 9mm, so nothing was interchangeable.
Right.
It's also nice that if you need to hand the rifle off to somebody, they know exactly.
Yeah. Safety's the same. The trigger pull's the same. The optics are the same. It's nice having the interchangeability.
So what got you into law enforcement? Because you've been doing this your entire professional career.
Yeah, so I graduated from high school here in Paulding County. I went to East Paulding High School, graduated with honors in 96. Went to college, and I started out at Southern Tech over in Marietta. And after about a year and a half, I decided that that wasn't my path. And so I transferred to the University of West Georgia and really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I took a criminal justice elective after one of my friends encouraged me to. And the class was actually corrections. And I loved it. And the more classes I took, the more I loved it. I got involved with the Carrollton Police Department. I had an opportunity to go through their Citizens Police Academy as a class at the University of West Georgia. And then I was able to intern with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. And after doing ride-alongs with Carrollton PD and working with the GBI one summer, I was hooked. I was all in. I graduated in 2000 with my bachelor's degree in criminology, and I ended up staying at West Georgia because I had an opportunity to get a master's degree for free because I worked on campus. So I stayed, got a master's degree. My wife was actually there as well, so I got to hang out while she was still in school, and ended up getting a Master of Arts in Sociology with an emphasis on criminology in December of 2002.
Nice.
So,
and that's where you picked up at Paulding County.
Yeah. So, when I actually started at the sheriff's office in September of 02 while I was finishing up my master's degree. And so I would come in, I would work in the jail at night, I was working night shift, I would carry my backpack full of books. And once all the jobs were done, it was just the lull, nothing going on in the middle of the night. I'd spread my books out and I'd work on my my main paper that I was working on to complete my assignments for graduation. So every night that I was at work, I worked on my main paper for my master's degree.
Oh, it's a heck of an opportunity. And you got your jail time done.
Yeah, yeah. So I worked in the jail. It was about, I think it was about 4 months. And then I had the opportunity to go to basic mandate training in January of 03. Graduated in March of 03 and then went to the road. Worked on the road for almost a couple years. And then that's, at the time, it was Captain Gary Gulledge, who is obviously now our sheriff. He came to me and asked me if I would be interested in becoming a canine handler. And obviously, if you get into law enforcement, the things that you want to do in law enforcement for most people, canine and SWAT, those are like the two coolest things that you can do. And so when he came to me and asked me, I was all in. And in the fall, I think it was November of 04, I started in our canine unit. And was in the canine unit for right around 8 years or so. And, you know, canine Grip, which was my canine partner, he and I, we were out and about every day. And we were able to lock up a lot of folks, get a lot of drugs off the street, track down a lot of criminals. We did a lot of really good things. So it was an exciting time. But in the midst of my canine time, the sheriff had come to me, Sheriff Bruce Harris at the time, and he had asked me if I would have been interested in becoming the public information officer because we never had one. So I grew up with his kids, and he's known me my entire life, and he knew because of my college education, the fact that I'm pretty well spoken, he wanted me to represent the sheriff's office. And eventually, we got the PIO program going. Brandon Gurley, who is now the chief of police at Brookhaven Police, he's actually the one that really spearheaded the PIO program at the sheriff's office. And he and I did it together for a while. And then when Sheriff Gulledge was elected and took office in 09, that's when Brandon took over PIO full-time and I stayed in K-9 because I wanted to fulfill the commitment I made to the sheriff and my partner, my K-9 partner. So I stayed in K-9 until about January of 2012 when Brandon decided to leave the sheriff's office and he went elsewhere. And then that's when I was tasked by the sheriff to become the full-time public information officer.
Now, the K-9 is an icebreaker, too. Everybody loves when the dog shows up.
Absolutely.
The kids. Hell, my wife, when we do the first responders thing over Farm Bureau.
Which is coming up in a
it
couple
is.
Weeks.
It is coming up, and that's she doesn't give a damn about talking to anybody else. The dog's there.
Right.
She wants to go over and pet the dog.
Absolutely.
That same thing. We were in Memphis and they had mounted officers. Like I'm like, fine, honey, can she pet your horse?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm married to Ellie Mae Clampett. So, yeah, you know, going back, you know, Gary was a canine officer.
He was, yeah. I mean, we worked hand in hand. Back then, there were four canine handlers. And I tell you, we went out and we did a lot of drug interdiction. We arrested a lot of criminals. We took a lot of drugs off the streets. And we were able to, in my opinion, help keep this county a safe place to live.
One of the questions I got off of Facebook is, can you describe your vision for the Sheriff's Office role in collaborating with the Department of Juvenile Justice and local outreach programs such as Teen Intervene? And how do you plan to enhance the partnerships for at-risk youth in Paulding County? I'm reading it verbatim.
Yeah. Obviously, those are great questions. You know, working with the youth in our community is something that's vitally important. My wife is an administrator at a local elementary school. Both my mom and dad were educators here in the county. And I have two children in Paulding County Schools, so making sure our children are safe is very important. So how do we work with these entities? Well, you know, you've got to have the conversations. You've got to have those crucial conversations with DJJ, with these entities. And I'm not I'm not familiar with Teen Intervene, but I've got a pretty good idea of what it is. And I would assume that it is a program that is going to help prevent kids from getting involved in drugs and alcohol, as I understand it. So we've got to start early with these kids. We've got to ensure that these kids know accountability, because one of the questions that that I know a lot of people have is, how do you get to these kids and how do you reach these parents? Well, it starts with accountability. In my opinion, one of the biggest problems in our country today is accountability, and it's across the board. But my wife can tell you, my mom can tell you, my dad can tell you, and any educator can tell you, one of the biggest problems they have in the schools is the lack of accountability from the parents. These children, and that includes my own, they have to be held accountable. And that starts at home. That starts with mom and dad or guardians or caretakers or whoever. It starts at the beginning, and you have to hold these children accountable, because if they're never held accountable, then they're going to do what they want, and they don't see that whatever they're doing is wrong. So holding these kids accountable, programs like our DARE program, we teach every fifth grade child in Paulding County the dangers of drugs and alcohol. It's important. You've got to get started early. Something that I've been a part of since its inception in Paulding County is the Paulding County Drug and Alcohol Day Awareness and Prevention Program, which is a program we partner with the Board of Commissioners, the Superior Courts, and we come in and we host a program at one elementary, middle, and it used to be high school. We scaled back and we are now doing an elementary, middle, and a middle every school year. And we come in with a full day of programming. We bring in motivational speakers. We bring in magicians. We bring in clowns, jugglers. But they're all, their message is about prevention and intervention on, you know, staying away from drugs and alcohol and vaping and all the things, bullying, cyberbullying. Those are things that we focus on. And those programs are great because we're exposing these kids to these things, and we're allowing them to understand that they are things that are dangerous, you know. And if you're seeing these things in your home, you need to let some folks know so we can come in and try to assist as best we can.
Well, I'm going to get into a couple things you can't talk about. There are a bunch of questions about Heather Turner.
Yeah.
You can't get into it. You handled that very well at the round table. I think both candidates handled it very well at the round table. Even Chad coming up after you and just saying ditto. I mean, you can't talk about it, but I wanted to address it because there are, that's the number one question that I put a thread out is Heather Turner. I'm like, oh, there's not a whole lot he can say.
Well, you know, and I'll just say basically what I said the other day. There were mistakes made. And I think you've got to own the fact that there were mistakes made. And at this point, we've got to work with the family. And we've got to take a fresh set of eyes. We're about to get a new district attorney. I don't know if you know that or not. But we're about to get a new DA. As soon as the governor appoints one, you're going to have a new sheriff and a new district attorney. And so that's a whole set of new eyes looking at a lot of things.
And a brand new judge.
That's exactly right. So there's a lot of things moving and shaking in the county. And so I will say, you know, because of the Heather Turner case and other cold cases, one of the things that we want to do is we want to start a cold case squad to look at Heather's case and look at some of these other cases that have gone unsolved for years. We've got to have a resolution for Heather's family. Whether it's one or the other, we have got to make sure that they know that we care. I truly want a resolution for her family, one way or the other. And I've talked in depth with many of the folks that are involved in the page, Heather Turner's page on Facebook, and they understand and know that this is something that's very important to me, because I get it. I understand. They want to know what happened, and they understand that you have to have, when you take a case to court, if you don't have solid evidence, you're going to get beat. And so obviously we think that there's more to this case than just a plain old suicide. Otherwise, it wouldn't still be open. I mean, that's clearly obvious. And so with that being said, we want to ensure that we do the best job that we can do.
Right. The wheels are from what I understand, the wheels are turning, but it's not an episode of CSI.
No, it's not. And I'm glad you said that, because a lot of times people don't understand that the criminal justice system and law enforcement specifically This is not an episode of CSI. We don't solve cases in 30 minutes or less. We don't roll up in a Hummer with all these fancy lights and brushes and all these things and just get fingerprints analyzed and all this stuff happen in 30 minutes or less. This stuff takes time. We've got to have resources. We've got to have partnerships. And
well, the thing that you said the other day at the round table is you get one shot.
That's right.
Double jeopardy if you go to trial and get acquitted, that's it.
Yep.
So then there really is no justice.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how you want to train deputies to handle mental health. That's more and more the first contact that people who are having episodes, the first contact they have is with law enforcement.
Yeah, so this is something that's in the forefront of the law enforcement community. And personally, I took the CIT training, which is the Crisis Intervention Team training, but before it was even something that was pushed by anyone, really, because I felt like it was something that I needed to know. And so after taking that training, it's a 40-hour block of instruction, and I was amazed. I had no idea there were so many things that I didn't know, just simply about autism in general. Have you ever heard the term echolalia?
Nope.
So echolalia, a child with autism, if they say the same things over and over, like, you know, just repetitive in nature, that's echolalia, and that's one of their triggers. That's one of the things that they do. And so it's a term that I had never heard ever. But after going to CIT training, I learned it. So one of the things that I would like to do, if elected, is I would like to make sure all of our staff gets to go through CIT training. As I understand it, if I'm not mistaken, the state is going to put that into basic mandate training in the future, in the very near future, which I think is great because every single law enforcement officer needs that block of instruction because we are dealing with more mental health issues than we've ever had before. And the reason for that is because we've shut down mental health facilities. Back when I was on the road years ago, 10, 15 years ago, we had a situation where we had a mental health case. We would take that person to the hospital, and then if the doctor deemed them as a situation where they needed more assistance than could be provided at the hospital, we would take them to Rome, and they would get the proper help, the proper medication, and the proper care they needed. These folks don't need to be in our jails, okay? A jail is not a mental health facility. Our staff is not trained for it. They're not equipped for it. They're not medical professionals. They can't administer medications. We've got a medical staff, but they're not trained to deal with folks who are having mental health crises.
Well, is there anything you can say on the McMaster's case? And this, for those who don't know, this is the road deputy that got a little too aggressive, hands-on, and with a suspect ended up being not the person they were looking for. He's no longer employed with the county, but is that case still ongoing with litigation and all that stuff?
So that's a good question, and so. And we didn't talk about this, but I'll just mention this and I'll answer your question. So currently, because of my position and the civil service policy of the county, I am currently not employed at the sheriff's office. I had to resign to run for sheriff. And so I'm not privy to all of the things that might be going on right now. So I don't know exactly where things stand. But as I understand it, this case was presented to a special grand jury, and there was a no bill or no indictment presented for criminal misconduct for Deputy McMaster.
So that has nothing to do with leadership at the sheriff's office. That's the grand jury.
Correct.
Made that decision.
Correct.
Well, do you have? How can people follow you? And if someone wanted to contribute to your campaign, where do they find you?
Yeah, so we got a very robust social media campaign. Ashley Henson for Sheriff, ashleyhensonforsheriff.com. If you want to donate to the campaign, you can just go to our website and donate electronically. You can mail us a check to P.O. Box 466 in Dallas, 30132. You know, the big thing that I want to make sure everybody understands, because I think this is something that a lot of folks don't understand, and this is about all the elections. Right now, Paulding County has a sheriff's race. We have a commission chairman race, we have a post-4 commissioner race, a post-1 commissioner race, and we also have a school board race at large. You've got 5 really big races that not all will be decided on May 21st, but 2 of the 5, if I'm not mistaken, will be, because I think the sheriff's race and post-1 are the only ones that don't have a Democratic candidate running. So I know for a fact the sheriff's race will be decided on May 21st. So we need to make sure that your listeners, our residents, know that this is a very crucial election. And we need everyone to get out and go vote. Do your research on both Chad and I. Do your research on all these other candidates and make an informed decision. But don't make a decision based on what you think about right now. Make a decision based on where you think our county needs to be in 10 or 15 years. Because very likely, these candidates who wins now, they're going to be in office for 4 to 8 to 12 to 16 years, depending on who it is and what office it is. And so you need to make a decision based on how you think these people will do for our county. And bearing in mind that our county's population is projected to increase significantly in the next 10 to 20 years.
And the population increase that I've seen in the last 20 years since I moved out here.
Absolutely.
You know, I moved out here and I thought, hey, it was a small town and quaint.
Yeah.
And
I've lived here my whole life. I literally can remember when there were two red lights, the one in town at the courthouse and the one at the McDonald's at Merchants and Macklin. That was the only two we had that I can remember. And you know, obviously we have grown by leaps and bounds, and I think that's great. But with the growth, you've got to have leadership in place, and that includes the next sheriff. You need to have someone who can see that growth and embrace the new people coming in, not just the ninth generation residents like my children, but the two-week residents that are coming in. And it's not about me as Ashley, it's about we as Paulding County. And I think that's one of the most important things to remember is when you go cast your ballot, you need to think about we as Paulding County, what is best for our county.
Well, thank you very much. We're running long on time. And trust me, I'd sit here, well, I'm a Southerner, so I'd sit here and talk to you all dadgum day, especially if we get a pitcher of sweet tea or something in here.
That's right.
But I want to give a big thanks to Matt Mason, Farmers Insurance. We're using his office for the interviews. Matt's a super guy. The office that we're using is actually kind of leased out to Doug Shaw, who's a business broker and a real estate agent. Doug's a great guy. If you're looking to acquire a business or you're looking to sell your business, he is somebody to talk to. So again, Ashley, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dave. Catch me howling at the moon.